As we gear up for baseball opening day, we're thrilled to have the Space City Home Network sports anchor and reporter Julia Morales with us today on The Balance Voice. This episode, as well as next week's episode, were really, really special to record as our team had the amazing opportunity to take a field trip to Minute Maid Park for these two special interviews. Julia has been the Houston Astros sideline reporter and pre- and post-game talk show star for 9 seasons already. We're excited to see her on our screens again as baseball season kicks off this month. Rania sat down with Julia to discuss all things baseball, as well as her new clothing line, Baseball Y'all, her community work here in Houston, and much, much more. We also get a special guest host appearance at the end of the episode when Rania's daughter popped into the interview to ask Julia some of her burning questions as an aspiring sports reporter. Sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with the wonderful Julia Morales. This is The Balance Voice.
We're so excited to have you. You're like a huge staple in our house. Certainly, I'm obsessed with you, but my youngest daughter is like legitimately obsessed with you. So we're watching you as much as we're watching the Astros, sometimes more than we're watching anything else. She's so happy, and she's here today. She might pop in and ask you a question.
I'm excited. I can't wait to hear the questions.
But we want to talk to you, about Julia. The mom, the business person, the journalist. I mean, you do so much. First of all, you posted recently, first time at the Astros, it can't be.
At the rodeo.
No, I'm sorry.
Wasn't my first ever time. I messed up on my tweet. I was too excited.
Yeah.
I just did it too fast. Love the rodeo, but I never get to go to the rodeo.
I know.
So I've been before. It had been a while. Spring training gets in the way.
Yeah.
This little thing called Astros spring training. So we all ship out to Florida. And we kind of miss everything that happens between the end of February and opening day, all of it, which is a lot in
Houston. It is a lot. So it's different this year, though, because you were able to go.
Yeah, we are changing things up just a little bit. You know, we're Space City Home Network now.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the new network and the new name, new ownership. We're very, very excited about that. But we wanted to bring some more games to Astros fans. And by doing that, we are doing a few remote, which means we'll do them out of the studio, just middle of March games. We'll get back to our usual being out there. And I was actually already in Florida and got my one-on-one time, did all the sit-down interviews that I needed to do. But this is big for me in my life.
Yes.
Just because I get to spend a little more time and not be exhausted by the time opening day gets here too, you know?
I mean, we'll talk about it in a minute, but I was thinking about what your day looks like and what your year looks like. And it is packed. But before we jump, I'm always curious, how did this start for you? Journalism? Did you always want to do sports journalism?
Great question. Yeah. Oh, let's take it back to 10-year-old Julia. It started with my dad. My dad was a school teacher, taught government, and just has a huge passion for people and wanting to make good change in the world. Ran for United States Senate. He was a school teacher.
No political background.
I don't know how familiar people are with the process, especially this is 1996, 1995, when he decided to run. But you have to get 4,000 signatures on a petition to even get your name on the ballot. Like, it's a whole thing.
It's a process.
No money. I mean, he just was like, I believe in change. I believe that the person that is in that seat right now isn't the one for us. So he just went for it, and his students backed him, and then people loved his story. He gets on the ballot. He wins the primary. So he is up against the incumbent, and he became the first Hispanic to run for that seat. This is U.S. Senate. This isn't even like state Senate.
And on the Democratic ticket, right?
Yes.
Amazing.
So he drove around in a little white pickup truck that he owned. We were a very normal family. Like, I keep going back to the fact that he was just a school teacher, and people fell in love. Media fell in love with the fact that this guy was like, Who is he?
Yes.
And how is he gaining so much attention? And the story is so great. So it took off. National media was showing up at our house all the time. So as a 10-year-old, I was in love with the reporter asking the questions and the live shots out in my front yard. The election party for the primary was amazing for me to just kind of see the bright lights and the red light going off. And I fell in love.
It's amazing.
Wanted to be in news. And so I quickly did everything to do that in school. I kind of focused on that. I watched the news every night, fell in love with the anchors. I grew up close to Dallas, great news stations in Dallas, just some of the best. Went to college like knowing I wanted to be in journalism. But when I was at UT Austin, I did a really cool internship, and there was a female there who was a news reporter, but fighting to do more sports. And I just happened to be around listening to her talk. I would think I was in her car one day as we were running around from story to story. And I'm like, no, you're right. Why the heck aren't we doing sports? Yeah. Like, if we love sports, and I grew up with a sports background, I played all the things. I'm like, I'd rather do that than go to a city council meeting. No offense to anyone who has to go to those. Course, but I'm like, I would rather go to a high school football game. Why can't I do that? So I, again, everything just kind of flipped for me. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm thinking back, I'm like, what was I thinking? That was kind of crazy at the time.
That's what I love because, I mean, you know, I fell in love with journalism, too, at a very young age, mm-hmm. but never had the guts to go into it.
It's gutsy.
It's gutsy, especially women my age at that time. You just didn't see a lot in Boston. You know, it just wasn't a thing. But I love the fact that you fell in love with it, you went into it, and then you found this uncharted territory.
Yeah. Not a lot of women doing sports at the time.
Not at all.
Which is going to age me, but yeah.
But now there are, right?
There are. It's changed dramatically. Even so, I got my first job, and that's when I kind of realized, like, oh, there's not a lot of people like me in this industry. You know, obviously covering sports and in Texas, like, it's football, it's basketball, but it's a lot of male sport. I mean, it's just, it's their game, right? And so I was around men a lot. But I had a really great experience. I just continued to stair-step my way. And as I grew in the industry and started to move up, more and more women were getting opportunities. Actually, sports was kind of blowing up the way regional sports networks were blowing up. Programming, all of a sudden there were talk shows on TV.
Yes.
Just more opportunities for women. And there, you know, the more they saw us, the more they wanted to do it. And now I see it they're 5 years old walking up to me like, I want to be a sports reporter. I'm like, I didn't know what a sports reporter was when I was five. I think it's amazing.
So, it is amazing. Very cool. You recently tweeted there was a woman who now will be the first, you know, play-by-play. She's going to...
Jenny Kavnar will call games for the Oakland A's. She's their primary play-by-play, which is very cool. She'd been working towards it. She was calling games for the Rockies as a backup. But she just got hired on as the main play-by-play.
Which is historic.
Historic.
It's okay. It's huge. Amazing. And I love that because, again, you know, maybe, again, generationally, we're coming from a generation that we had to break open doors. And now for our daughters, and you have a daughter, I have three.
Yeah.
I feel like this is an actual opportunity. Thank you for making it possible.
And thank you. I mean, and we all did, right? We all play a part in the support along the way. And we have to thank a lot of men who helped us get here. I mean, it's all the coaches that spent the time and answered my questions and didn't push me aside and didn't tell me to go home and get back in the kitchen, all of the things, you know, like there was a lot of men who were there to lift me up and explain things to me and teach me. And honestly, like, women know what we're talking about. We actually know sports.
Yes, I know.
More so than some guys out there.
I was going to ask you in your house, because you're a sports family, your husband used to be a player.
He played,
I'm like, can he outpace you in sport talk? Like, I mean, there's no way.
Not always. So Matt knows baseball. I mean, Matt grew up baseball. He played at LSU. His dad was a major league pitcher.
Yes.
He was another great person to lean on, right? And just kind of ask questions when I would come home or hear guys talking about certain things, whether it was like the way their bat was made or the way the little things, right? You know, it was like I would always just turn to him, be like, what does that mean? And what does this saying mean? Because those change too. That's like kids these days. You like have to keep up with the jargon and whatever school out there. But he was great. But I was covering all sports when we met. I wasn't just, you know, the Astros reporter. This was before I got the job. So I was covering all sports and I was with it. I had a fantasy football radio show at one point. Mm-hmm. I was doing, you know, like a lot of high school, but I was covering collegiate sports. So I knew what was going on with the rankings and I knew my stuff. And so I was telling him a lot, you know, I was like, I was just on it, but it was people thought that was funny. He loved it too. He loves sports. Obviously, like, we love going to games together and being fans together.
I wonder what your daughter's going to end up doing.
Oh my gosh, that child.
She's going to know everything about everything.
She's three, and, you know, we're watching Caitlin Clark last night, and she's like, basketball. And we flip it over, and she's like, go Astros. And, yeah, me too.
But, you know, it's funny. So we, again, thinking we love the opportunity to have this podcast because we get to talk to fabulous people like you. And we had Matthew McConaughey on.
Who I love and was one of my favorite interviews of all time. But keep going.
Oh, my gosh. And I keep thinking about when, you know, as busy as he is, he's still at the UT games. Yeah. You're a UT alum.
Yes,
you know, and he's still cheering on the crowds. And there's something about the magic of sports.
Yeah.
There's something about the
energy.
Magic.
There's
and that
energy.
This room, when it's filled, people are crying. People are angry. People are motivated. People are making life decisions here because of what's happening. What is that?
It's a great energy. It's a very strong energy. And it's such a happy place. I think my mom told me that when I was, you know, younger in my career, because she would come and visit. And then I'd be like, well, it's Friday night. I'm going to be at White House High School covering the football game. You want to come? And she'd be like, sure. And her and my dad would drive out and they'd watch the football. Like, they just love sports. They were supporting me as well. But I remember mom being like, it is the coolest thing that your job and your office is a place of such happiness. People go, and of course you're disappointed when your team loses at the end, but when everyone walks in the building, and it's just this place, especially in the last 7-8 years, has been so incredible just to sit in here and feel that and to make those memories. And there are times where I do take it for granted. You know, it's like hard not to. I do this all day, every day. And then something cool happens, like Framber Valdez will throw a no-hitter, and I'm just kind of have this out-of-body experience of like, this is my job. This is crazy.
It's amazing. And you're right there.
I'm in it. Yeah.
You're in it.
Trying not to get hit by foul balls.
You're right there, and you get to work with the most incredible people, but it's work. So like,
there's work.
What
yes.
is your day like? And then what is your year like?
I appreciate
like?
It. Yeah, no, a lot of people may have, you know, this idea that we kind of show up when the game starts and then we get out of there. No, it's kind of 24/7. Anybody who works in sports though will tell you that. And that is off camera, behind the scenes, front office, like anybody who's in this industry just kind of lives and breathes it because it's always on. We're fans, right? Mm-hmm. So you turn it on when you go home that night, and you turn it back on in the morning when you wake up, and you're reading the stats and you're seeing what's going on around the league. For me, I mean, that it's around the clock. I'm talking, I'm reading things, I'm constantly researching. But like a typical day, if you wanted to break it down, like what time do I show up to the ballpark? I'm usually at the ballpark between 2 and 3 for a 7 o'clock game. So I'll just give you a 7 p.m. game. The clubhouse will open. So from 2 to 3, sometimes there's early hitting going on, which is important for me. That's usually when I can see what guys are working on. Mm-hmm. So I love to just kind of get that inside of like, oh, Chaz is over there and he's trying to pull everything today. And so like for me, I take a mental note because if he pulls one for a homer later, I'm like, that's what he was working on.
Yeah.
Or I can follow up with a good question. Clubhouse will open. So you have kind of free range of the guys, interviews of the day. The manager will talk eventually. I'll do a lot of prep with my, you know, the production crew and the broadcast team. That's Todd Callis, Jeff Blum, who are the best ever. I'm so blessed to have a great, great team. And we just are constantly sharing information, what we see, what's going on, stories. Maybe I go to the other side. Maybe there's a hometown guy from the other side that I'll try to talk to. Batting practice is usually where I get a lot of those one-off conversations as well. Maybe I check to see if Yordan Alvarez is like playing catch yet because his thumb's been hurting. You know, it's like I'm just like watching everything and you're like constantly like just paying attention because that's what sideline reporters do, right? I mean, that's like that's our job is to see all the things that no one else can. The game, you know, there's a pregame show that starts at 6:30. So by then I've already done everything. I got to sneak a meal in there at some point,
sure,
like cram
yes.
something down and keep going. Makeup's got to get slapped on. Live hit
and
at
you're
6:30.
Doing that yourself?
Yes, all day, every day.
Okay.
So it's just me. I mean, I'm like, lucky to have
a
controlled
team behind
environment.
You? Like, I here's mean, what you're wearing today.
No.
Here's like, it's you.
No, it's me.
Okay.
Yeah, the behind the scenes to all of that is pretty interesting as well. Because I was just talking to Rachel about how I'm like, I got to stock up on all my things. That's another thing I do. Like in March, we were talking about this. I get a little anxious, just a checklist that I have to accomplish. One of the things is I get stocked up on makeup. Everything, because I don't have time to even go run errands once the season starts. Anyway, so that's like behind the scenes. Game starts at 7. I do all my, you know, my hits during the game, sitting right next to the team. I'll do a walk-off if the team wins, like a walk-off interview, what we call it. And then I head back into the clubhouse. So everyone gets to go to the crowded parking lot, you know, and like try to beat traffic. I'm still working probably for another 45 minutes or so. Talking to the players, win or lose. Sometimes those clubhouses are really tough.
Yes.
And then if it's a, you know, if it's a road game, I get on the bus with them, and sometimes it's a quiet bus, and we head back to the hotel. But it just kind of starts over. It's like by the time I'm on the bus, or if I'm driving home, I'm already talking to my producer about the next day because baseball is every day.
Is every day. They really play. My goodness, so, more than any other.
Yeah, it's grueling.
It's grueling.
So intense. But that's like a typical day for me. Yeah.
And then so then the year. So you do. What is
so
your
so have an off season? Kind of. So the Astros, them getting really good, kind of put a damper on our off season.
Yeah.
And I say that like a really, like, I don't know.
It's like a great problem to have.
But It's funny because I've made so many great friends that do what I do, counterparts, colleagues around the league, and they are completely rested and refreshed by like August 13th or October 13th. Like,
oh my God.
They've already gone on a vacation, had some kind of beach drink in the tropics. Like, they're already so refreshed by October 13th. What are we doing in Houston?
No, like, we're waiting. Yeah.
We've probably just gotten through the ALDS and we're getting ready for the next round. You know, it's like we haven't slowed down. We have just sped up.
And
it's
by the
so
way,
much more intense.
All the nonprofits in Houston, of which we are one, are like, oh my God, when do we do our galas? Because it's gala season, but we can't compete with the Astros. It's a big, it is a legitimate problem
right.
in Houston.
I know.
Because it's the joy of the city.
Everyone,
you can't compete with it.
I can't plan anything for October for exactly what you're saying. I'll get asked, you know, can you be a part of this? Can you come? And I'm like, I'm going to say no until all of a sudden.
And we're
like,
so happy.
We say yes.
Yes.
It's a real problem. But once the season ends, I do get a little bit of a break, but then I'll help out with the Rockets. I'm just kind of like the fill-in for the Rockets, which is great for me to go over there. That's an up-and-coming team. Hang with them, everybody. They're going to be good. They've got some serious talent, but it's fun to just kind of do something different, totally different pace.
Yeah.
Different kind of athlete. But, I love doing that too. Just mixing in. And I mean, it starts in January. I mean, it's like Fan Fest, it's Caravan. We start having meetings and then February, you know, around Valentine's Day, it's on.
You're hitting the ground running.
Yeah. Not a lot of off time.
You get to see things like, how does that work? 'Cause you're a journalist. So you're seeing things that nobody else gets to see.
Yes.
Are you deciding like, wait, this would be really cool to report?
There's a lot
or
of that,
like,
yeah.
I know, like, what can you tell us? What can you tell us that nobody know or does? I mean, the stuff you see that nobody knows about, it must be endless.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't be specific about anything, but there is like a code when you travel with a team. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the traveling part with a team yet, because I think that's a really fascinating part of my job, is to be so close with them. I'm with them more than they are with their wives, if you think about it. Just because like, we leave the ballpark together, we get on the bus together, we get on the plane. Now, am I talking to them, dealing with them? No, we give, you know, they get their break, but we are all on the same plane. We're heheading to the same hotel. The next day, it's like 2 o'clock. We're all having lunch at the same place downstairs.
Like, they're,
you know,
like, they become like family.
It's a total family, but I mean, brothers that drive me nuts after a while.
So
kind of how they are. But so I see them. I see everything. I see if they're hurting, if they're limping, if they can barely walk onto the bus that night. I mean, because they're probably going to play the next day. But the world is dying for that information.
Yes.
They want to know everything about every player. That's stuff that I can't report or, you know. There's a lot that it's like.
No, nothing to see here.
And they understand that. I mean, there's such a level of trust that comes with my job. Once you get that relationship. That's when they start to tell you things off the record versus on the record. And a lot of it, I kind of have to figure out on my own, like what is off the record and how far I want to take the reporting. At the end of the day, I mean, when you say journalist, I did real journalism work for a bulk of my career. But once we came over, became a broadcast partner of the Astros, it changed.
Yes.
So there are definitely things. I mean, I'm not going to. Our fans don't want to listen to us just give you all the bad news all the time or what's going on. I mean,
stuff, you know, like back in the.
And I have to check with them too. Like, some of the funny stuff, I'm just like, hey, do you mind if I share this?
Yes,
like I do, yeah.
So you check with them first.
I do.
Because people love that. You know, again, it goes to the magic of the sport. Like,
they're hilarious.
Altuve will be around the neighborhood quite a bit. And when the kids hear, like, it spreads like wildfire, and they're like jumping on bikes and they're running because it's magical. And
they're great too.
They're great.
We have such a great team. But I do check with them because, I mean, you know, they don't always want everything out there. I mean, even if it's silly stuff, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they have
wives.
They like, who knows what their agents are telling them? Who knows what kind of deal they're. I mean, you know, there's like so much more to it than.
And it's why you fit so beautifully into this. An amazing franchise.
That.
Jim Crane, my gosh, the man is an angel and he's so smart, and everybody under the whole umbrella is just.
It's a great organization, top to bottom.
It's a great organization, and you're tremendous partners of Crime Stoppers, so we love you all so much. But you're a mom.
Oh, yeah. Then there's that.
Like, do you ever have mommy guilt or no?
All the time.
You do?
All the time. And it's why I didn't start a family until later.
Yeah.
I'm older, and I knew that would be a problem for me. I knew I would struggle kind of just having a child and then walking away from the child to go to work. I love to work.
Mm.
I'm crazy. But I know a lot of people out there understand that and feel that way. Some of us just really find joy in our work and passion in that. So yeah, it was hard for me to get started, to kind of try to find the perfect time, going back to being a woman in sports or a woman on TV. Do you want to be pregnant on TV?
I know.
Does that mean my contract's coming up and they don't want to re-sign me? Because it's you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what everyone's thinking. You don't know who's making those decisions and what they're feeling. I think the world has come a long way with that. Mm-hmm. I love seeing pregnant people on TV, mm-hmm. but that was definitely something I struggled with. The thought of me, I'm like, are fans going to not like the idea? I don't know. It's crazy to think about that now.
No, but
before you do it, you just
don't.
You
have to think about it, right?
And it's just stuff you don't know. And as you mature and you grow up, it's just like, I didn't know that when I was in my 20s. You know, you don't know. Anyway, I'm so glad I did it. But I will encourage young people now. I'm like, have the family, do your thing, and just keep being good at your job. I mean, it's just, we can do it. We can do pretty amazing, incredible things. But
and it's not, you know, people argue, well, like that whole notion that women can have it all and do it all is actually unfair. But it's not. We can have it all and do it all. It doesn't mean that's not hard.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we don't have tremendous mommy guilt. It doesn't mean that we don't get anxious or nervous or have to juggle or drop things through, you know, things slip through the cracks, but
totally.
There's no reason to not try.
No reason not to try.
Right?
Absolutely not. I completely agree with that. And some jobs are more demanding than others. And I mean, you know, you've got to figure it out. You got to at least try to see what you can accomplish or what you're able to do. This job, again, I mean, it was like the travel, like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to pull this off? And I'm, you know, I'm years into this now. She's 3 and a half, and she loves being at the ballpark, which gives me great joy. Yeah.
What does she understand 3 and a half?
I'm
trying to remember.
Now.
She understands what mommy does.
But she doesn't get it. It's like when she watches on the TV and she's like, I'm going to go and I want to go on the field. I'm
okay.
Well, like, you know, like I know you've been on the field, but like you can't just go to school and tell everyone that like they can come on the field.
Yeah,
you know,
like, my birthday party will be right there at home.
Right? She's like, no, I'll get you on the field. Like, let's not tell everyone that. But she gets it. She gets the Astros. Like she sees the Astros logo and like all of it. It's just so cool.
Yeah, the pride.
So cool. But mom guilt is very, very real. Oh my gosh, it's real. And, you know, because you can't turn off being a mom.
Mm-mm.
I can't really turn off my job either because it's everywhere and phones these days and the emails and the social media. I mean, it's everywhere. But especially being a mom, it's just like you are always thinking of what's going on with them, how they're feeling. Also, do you have the right size clothing in there? Is she about to grow out of her shoes? Is what's going on at school? That's the part where, like, we're pretty amazing.
No, for sure. No, it's true. Because it is a lot to juggle. And again, it's not that balls don't get dropped, but there's a lot to think about, a lot to juggle. And we somehow manage. I have tremendous mommy guilt. And I'll tell my kids, and it works for some, it doesn't for others. But I have 3 daughters. And I say, listen, the moment you want me to quit, I will quit. But my work is very meaningful to me. And if you want me to quit, I will. Because you guys mean more. And thank God they're like, no, we love it. I'm like, okay, thank God. Because I don't know what I'd do if they were really like, yes, quit. I'd be like, oh my God, let's renegotiate the terms of this.
I know. And I think I think moms who don't work too, like I have tremendous respect for moms who are just really great. Oh my gosh. Because that's really hard too.
I don't have the talent to do that. That's the problem. I mean, I can't.
I don't have the talent. Yeah. And I need this. And I'm also I'm like so fortunate to be in this time in this era of my life of being able to do this. I know I'm not gonna be able to be on the plane with the team my entire, you know, my child's gonna get older. I'm gonna wanna see more things. But I also am like, let's just ride this.
But you're riding it so beautifully. And what I love too is in addition to the family, in addition to the legacy you're building, you go and you speak, and I love the topics you speak on. In addition to all you're doing with the Astros, with the Rockets, you launched a merch line.
Oh, why?
What and as a softball mom, I loved it.
Yes.
I was like, softball, y'all? Yes.
Oh, so that has been so much fun. But that was one of those things that, like, I've always wanted to do a shirt. So I say y'all a lot anyway because I'm Texan and we all do. But I would always answer or I would see something on the field that would happen that would just be so miraculous or the story, you know, things would come full circle. You know how baseball is.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Things you can't explain. And I would just be like, baseball, y'all, period. Or I would say like, y'all, !! when something crazy would happen or they win the World Series, you know.
I can't even imagine.
So I, you know, I always kind of wanted to just do a shirt. I'm also in this in this time too where I have a good following.
Mm-hmm.
So people would constantly try to send me things that they wanted me to sell for them by wearing it. You know, it's, it's that time.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's doing all the things.
Yes.
But it was just one of those that kind of clicked for me. And I'm like, wait, why am I not? I'll wear my own stuff and sell my own stuff. You know, I'm like, why am I selling everyone else's stuff when I wanted to do this? I found a good partner that would help me, you know, produce a shirt. And then it became like, okay, let's do three shirts and see how this goes. So I wanted to launch in April of 2022. It was, you know, everything takes forever. I think it was All-Star break. And I'm like, is this thing ever going to get off the ground? I mean, it was hard. I don't know anything about business.
I know.
I ran into so many different things along the way. September 17th, 18th. It's like, okay, everything's a go. Let's launch. And like, meanwhile, there's a whole baseball season happening around me. I'm on the road. I'm on a road trip at the time. And like, he's like, let's go. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to hit live. Like, here we go.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder if anyone's going to buy it. I'm like, I'm going to post it.
And
I'm like, Mom, will you please at least buy one shirt? Like, it was one of those. It blew up. The next day, they won the division. And I think it was just like, Houston was excited. The timing was crazy. And it was like, I was so bummed about it not launching in April and then All-Star break. But I was like, I think it actually kind of worked out. It blew up to the point where we couldn't keep up, and talk about just like the stress of that. I'm a people pleaser and wanted to make everyone happy. But I'm like, now you got to wait. Shipping. Oh my gosh, I'm not Amazon.
Yeah,
things are happening quick.
But
the team kept winning. This is the World Series run.
I mean,
that they went on, and I'm like trying to keep up with this. It was so much fun though. Once that off season hit and the adrenaline went away, I'm like, what was I thinking?
But it's like the greatest thing ever.
And I absolutely love it. And then it became like, okay, what do I do with this? All my friends are baseball moms. I have a little girl, but I've met so many people that love baseball, and they'll go to their kids' games, and then they'll come out here, you know, to watch the Astros, and they've got their kids and their uniform. And I'm just thinking, like, what can they wear to all of it?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what's something neutral? What's something, you know, that if your kid changes, I mean, you know this, like your mascot changes, your color changes, but the mom doesn't want to buy a new shirt every season. If that was the idea behind it. And moms and dads and grandmas and everybody puts so much time into this, and they love their kids and they want them to succeed, and they sacrifice their weekends and they sacrifice sleep Saturdays. So I'm like, you should at least look cute while you do it. So that was honestly that was the reason I did it. And that's the reason why I'm still doing it and wanting it to grow. I'm just trying to figure it out one day at a time, though.
But I love that you just went for it.
Oh, cool.
I love that. I love it in your career.
To.
I love that in your career you just went for it. I love with this that you just went for it, because I think that's when magic happens.
Yeah.
I really do.
And the support, too. I mean, we're in a great market.
We really
just
are.
The fan base and the people that support, because fans were buying it in the beginning, like, we'll do anything to help you, Julia. You know, I'm like, you don't even know me, but they felt like they do,
such
you know,
pride and love.
That made my heart so happy. And now I want to make them happy. I'm like, okay, what do you want? I got you on the next shirt. Like, what? It's so fun.
I loved it when you launched it. And I love the heart you have just for the community. It shows through. You love the team. You love, and you represent it so well. And
you
share the stories for us, so we feel like we're a part of the magic you get to be a part of every day.
That's the goal.
But then you've translated to the younger generation. Again, my daughter's like, I love her so much. But you have a heart for the community. The work you do for animals,
Houston
and
Pets
community.
Alive, yeah.
I mean,
that was really cool. You know who got me into the Houston Pets Alive was Lance McCullers Jr.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So covering him, you know, when he first came up, this kid, the first thing he does is he's like, I love animals. I love rescuing animals. Who can I talk to? He'd just been called up to the majors, and he wasn't a Houston guy yet. I mean, he was obviously Tampa, had worked his way through the minors, and shows up and he's like, what can I do? Where can I go? How can I help? So we did a story. He had just been called up and gone to one of the Houston Pets Alive events. And that's where I learned about fostering.
Yeah.
And I didn't know a lot about it. And I kind of fell in love with the idea. My husband loves animals too. And we couldn't have one because my husband would be gone all season. This is when he was still playing. He was playing in Japan, I think, at the time too. And then I was gone all season. There was just no way we could have our own animal. Still kind of no way, just with the world that we live in. But I was like, perfect if we can foster over the off season. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got involved with Houston Pets Alive. And I've been a part of the advisory board and trying to do whatever I can to help what is a crazy problem in Houston.
I
mean, just so many stray animals. What can we do? How can we fix this problem? But we're trying, chipping away.
So many groups doing so many things. Julia Morales, you are just fabulous and fascinating.
Thank you.
We could keep you here forever. We are in your house, but I mean, we might not leave. Would you?
I don't sleep here, contrary to what people may believe.
We want to see your apartment. Evelyn, do you want to ask a question?
Yes.
You want to come sit here and ask a question? We may. Okay.
I love this.
So you know me. I love baseball. I love Minute Maid.
Yes.
And I want your job one day.
You can't have it yet.
It's such a blessing that you get to work here. But what's it like? You know, it's, you said it's stressful and it's a lot of work. But does it get, like, do you get over it? Because, like, you get Valdez throwing peanuts. You get foul balls. It's just, then, like, it smells like all the nachos and hot dogs.
You're right. There's a lot of things about this job that aren't glamorous. No, now that you bring it up. You know, there's such a thrill to competitive sports anyway, but professional sports. So when your team is as good as the Astros, I mean, it's impossible not to just soak up all of the things that are happening. So you kind of, yeah, you don't really see all the smells and like whatever's going on around you, or the bad weather. Oh my gosh, there's terrible weather on the road. I mean, it's not easy traveling around with a baseball team. But no, I mean, I don't get over it. I tell people, so I don't ever get nervous anymore just because I've been on TV for so long. You know, I have a way, but I do get butterflies when I do my first hit here every game. It's not like a nervousness, but there's just like, I totally get why Jose Altuve goes out and gives his best every single night. I mean, it's what happens in this building. It's going back to like the energy we were talking about. Because at 7 o'clock, the guys will do the hit at the top and they'll say, welcome in, you know, live from Houston, Texas, and kind of gets everything started. But the train starts going. Bob Ford is going over the announce, you know, he's announcing the players or the here comes the Astros or whatever he says, because I'm usually got my earpiece on. But it's loud and the crowd starts to pick up and the guys run out. Usually they're like running into me or throwing something at me on their way out. But as they go out, and it's just like everyone has to up their game a little bit. Like you've got to like rise to the occasion. And I get butterflies. I get excited every time. I mean, it'll be August 2nd. We're 100 games in or something, you know, and I would just love it. It's why I'm still doing it as much as I'm doing. You know, there are people that do this job that dial it back or change, you know, after a few years, just because it's such a hard season. It's hard to do that many games. It's hard to travel. But it's why I have it. So I don't feel like I need to. I feel like I'm still giving my all every night because I love it so much.
Yeah, it's so much fun. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen either. I tell people that all the time. I'm like, that's one of the best parts about this job is like, you will show up to the ballpark and it could be like, kind of a lame 2-1 win where all the action happened in the first inning, or Fromber could throw a no-hitter, or JV could throw another one, or flirt with one. I mean, it's just, you have no clue. Immaculate inning. We saw that one game where they had two immaculate innings in one game. It's just nuts. Like, all that stuff is just nuts. And, you know, you had no idea when you showed up that day.
I love it.
I get mad at her when she watches it on the app, when we're watching it live, because the app is like a few seconds early, and I'm like, stop telling me.
I know on social media I have to watch it. Like I try to give it a beat, but then I'm like,
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, you're not gonna believe this. Yeah.
Julia,
it's hard.
Thank you so much.
You guys.
Thank you for my little guest post questionnaire, Evelyn.
Great question. You can have my job one day, but not yet. I'm still having too much fun.
Next on the list.
And to everybody else, we'll catch you next time on The Balanced Voice. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to today's Balanced Conversation. You can find real solutions and tangible resources in our show notes at thebalancevoicepodcast.com. To join the conversation, follow us on Instagram at thebalancevoicepodcast and on Twitter at balancevoice_. Stay up to date on Runya's work by following her at The Runya Report. And we can't wait to see you next week for another Balanced Conversation.